All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to another episode of the Close Up Podcast on the Orlando Magic HQ Network. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron, and I'm really excited about today's episode. We have Dante Marcatelli joining us. He's awesome. He's been on the show a few times already, at least on my old network. So have a bit of a relationship with him, which is fun. He's a great guy, big Orlando Magic fan, obviously, and a broadcaster for the team. So it'll be really cool to chat with him here shortly. Before we get to that conversation with Dante, let's just go ahead and tap into some things, right? I want to remind you all of the Orlando Magic HQ subscription program that we have on Instagram. It's $5 a month to join us, just a simple way for you to financially commit to us. That money comes back to us. We really use it to go back into you guys, you know, to be able to create more content, to be able to give more giveaways and grow this platform that we are all on. $5 a month gets you into our group chat, gets you into the ability to have 20% off select Magic home games. We do video Q&As. We do custom graphics that we share out with you all, and exclusive like posts and stories and reels and stuff like that. So it's super fun. Again, just $5 a month really helps us out and hopefully gives you guys some cool benefits, particularly that 20% off select Magic home games. It's pretty dope. So that's one thing I want to remind you of. We have a really good giveaway that's going on right now for that program. Anyone that joins this month, at the end of the month, we're doing a huge giveaway. We have 5 Orlando Magic HQ hats that will be distributed to 5 participants. And then we have an Orlando Magic City Edition starters jacket, which is really sick. You know, over $150 value there that we will order in your size and ship it directly to your house for you to rock on Magic game days and stuff like that. So really cool opportunity there. So check it out. Give it a try. If you like it, stick around. If not, you can always cancel your subscription, but please check us out. The other thing is this show is brought to you by Bet Online. All major sport events are in action this week with college football playoffs ready to kick off. Bet Online is your number one destination for all your sports wagering information, including news for pro football, the NBA, upcoming fights, and NHL this season. You know, if you want to play some bets, you just go there, find out some information. You can get the latest news and rumblings. You know, learn what the over-unders are, learn what all sorts of different aspects of betting. However you want to bet, you can go there and get that information. Head to the website today to get into the action and see all the updated odds for the week. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. And right before we get into this conversation with Dante Marcatelli, I want to remind you all that this podcast is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network. Obviously, that was the promo code in the ad read that we just did with Bet Online. Believe is an awesome podcast network. They sponsor us, support us in a big way. We want to support them back, so check them out. They have tons of good content on their show. So, yeah. All right. That's kind of it. The Magic are kind of, they're in an interesting spot. We are technically 16-9 on this Monday, December 18th morning. We are 4th in the standings. We just lost over the weekend on Friday and Sunday against the number one team in the East, the Boston Celtics. They are 5-20. They handed us 2 more losses, so that's why we're up to 9. We're still doing really great. You know, we are a 640 team, you know, that above 500. So, like, that's really good. We were, you know, we're above 20 games now. Last year we were 5-20. This year we're 16-9. So we're doing pretty damn well, in my opinion. It's been a fun season. Paolo kind of went off this weekend. He had 36 points last night versus the Boston Celtics. He was kind of one of the few that was really bringing it. Gary Harris, Franz Wagner, they couldn't hit shots for the life of them last night, which was really odd. Both of them just had a really bad weekend. They didn't play well at all versus the Celtics. Oh, we'll get into that a bit with Dante for sure. But the Magic are doing good. They have a hard schedule coming up. They have the Heat on Wednesday, the Bucks on Thursday, and then the Pacers to round out the week. So, all right. So that's about it for now. We'll get more into this with Dante. Stoked for this conversation. Let's go. All right, everyone. Like I said in the intro, we got Dante Marcatelli joining us today. Dante, welcome. Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Stephen. Always great to catch up with you. I appreciate the flexibility, as I am. I feel like I'm pretty technologically inclined, but sometimes it takes me a while to figure out the new technology. So I appreciate you bearing with me, and it's great to be here with you. How's things going on your end?
Me and you both, man. They don't make this stuff easy on us. All right, so I get it. It's always ever evolving with the hoops we got to jump through.
It's supposed to help. This technology is supposed to help us, and it makes it harder. But I got it. I got it now. So we're
here. We made it. Oh man, it's great to have you here. You know, we're recording this Monday, December 18th. Magic are not playing right now. They just finished playing. They're on their way. They're home now after playing two games in a row in Boston on Friday and Saturday. Not the outcomes we wanted, but we knew it was going to be a tough matchup going into that. But Dante, before we go into like the basketball of the team, I want to like pull back a little bit and talk to you. You're doing some cool things this year, some things that you haven't done for the large team at this level in the long term, or, you know, and to my experience, right. Ever, you know, you did it with Lakeland Magic or at the time, and now we're doing some things. And what I'm saying is, you're calling play by play, man, and it's really cool and it's really fun to hear. Obviously, you know, you're filling in some big shoes with David Steele, and it makes sense that, you know, he might be transitioning to a different phase of life, you know, at some point in the next couple of seasons, but you're jumping in, you're filling in, you're taking on this role at such a big level, and you just got to call some pretty cool games in an area that you're very familiar with and grew up. Mm-hmm. Before we talk about this weekend particularly, how are you feeling about coming in as a play-by-play announcer now and kind of transitioning from, you know, sideline and pre and pro, pre, post and halftime analyst to now calling the play-by-play? How is that going for you?
Well, it's been a transition. There's no question about it, but it's, you know, ultimately that's what I would love to do. You know, one day is to have the opportunity to call games for this team. And, you know, this year the opportunity came to do about 25 games. So it'll be about, I think I've done six now, so it'll be 25 games. And it, you know, it allows David to not have to travel so much. And again, this is totally his decision. This has nothing to do with anything else. And then it's an opportunity to kind of lighten the load for him travel-wise. He still does all the home games, and then he'll do the important games as on the road as the season kind of winds down, and hopefully we're making that big playoff push. So this is just kind of his design, which is great, and kind of the blueprint and the map that he laid out for us, and it's a great opportunity. So, and again, there are no bigger shoes, in my opinion, to fill than David Steele. And I am not David Steele. I can't be David Steele, and I wouldn't even try, because he's so good at this. So I kind of try to carve my own path and try to do it my own way and try to have fun with it too. And in the meantime, soliciting as much possible advice as I can from David Steele here the last couple of months. And he's been awesome. He's been awesome and filling me in and helping me out with things along the way. So it's been a goal. Growing up in Boston, Massachusetts, Mike Gorman was the guy that I would listen to on the telecast and watch. And then it was Johnny Most on the radio broadcast, Boston Celtics legend. And then it was Joe Castiglione on the radio covering the Red Sox, right? So it was those three that I listened to my whole life as a kid. And I always thought to myself, if I could ever be in a position to do that, I can't imagine anything more fun. And so that's kind of what everything has been building towards here the last 15, 20 years. And listen, I got a job with the Magic as a radio intern. And eventually I got a radio show. And I thought, if I could just if I keep this radio show for the rest of my life, I'm as happy as can be. Sure. And I thought that'd be great. And maybe be involved in the radio broadcast. That'd be awesome. And then it became television. And I said, oh, my gosh, if I could do pregame and postgame for the rest of my life, I am totally fine. This is a blast to do this. And now it's like, hey, if I can do whatever the hybrid looks like, and then I'm just happy as can be. So it's a great opportunity. I'm very appreciative to, you know, to David, to Ty Eastham, our producer, Alex Martins, the CEO, everybody involved, Bally Sports Florida. And it's just been fun. It's been a blast, and I'm learning a lot along the way. But in the meantime, just trying to keep the car on the road.
Oh, sure.
No, until David comes back on Wednesday.
You're doing a great job. And it's interesting, right? You know, like, David's the GOAT for Magic Broadcast.
Sure.
It's really hard to compete with what he does, but it's not really competing, right? It's just evolution and evolving, and everyone at some point retires or wants to retire, right? And I'm not going to speculate on how much longer David's going to do this, but at some point,
And let me set the record straight. I hope he does it for 20 more years. I really do. I want him to do it as long as he wants.
Oh, absolutely.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, David's great, and he should have all the time in the world to decide when he wants to hang it up. But hopefully that's not anytime soon. But I think the way the Magic and you and him are balancing this transition and this time, even if it's just this year and things look different next year, it's phenomenal. Right. It's really cool. It's really phenomenal. And you know, as a fan, I'm also like, man, this is cool. Like, I get to see Dante grow a little bit more, and we've watched you grow a lot over the last couple, over the years, you know, because I've watched you from just sideline to then let's do, you know, the morning and after. I even, you know, even just like the radio shows back in the day. So it's fun to watch you continue to take your steps.
Well, I appreciate it.
While also still being blessed to have David around, which has been really fun. On the technical side of it, right, you know, there is a difference. Like, you're having to view and watch the game a different way, and it's more, I mean, you're saying exactly what you're seeing. How have you had to adjust the way you prep for a game for these types of situations versus when you are back into your more traditional role of, you know, pre, post, halftime analysts, you know, sometimes mid-game conversations and stuff like that? How have you had to grow as an individual to get to this spot that you're doing so well?
Well, it's been eye-opening. There's no question about that. And the other guy I need to mention is Jeff Turner. I mean, there's nobody better. I mean, he makes it so easy to just sit there and be able to call the game with him. And ideally, when you're, you know, when I listen to David and Jeff, it's like two buddies just hanging out, reacting to a game. And that's what they want. And I think that's the ultimate compliment. And that's what I'm hoping fans will take away when they listen to Jeff and I, because we have a great rapport as well and a great friendship. And I hope that's what comes across when they listen to Jeff and I. As well, but it's different, man. Oh my God. I mean, I pride myself on my prep anyway, and I do deep dives, no matter what role it is. If I'm coming on doing a 1 minute piece, I'm going to be ready for it, right? Like, that's how I feel.
Sure.
I want to be as prepared as possible. So whatever the role is, I put a lot into it, reading stories, reading articles, getting my hands on as much as I can, as far as that goes, but also, you know, whatever numbers I'm intrigued by or trends or whatever, then I'll do my own deep dives and try to figure out, you know, what do the numbers look like in December? What do they look like at home, on the road? What does it look like, these combinations, these three guys playing together, whatever the situation may be. So I put a lot into the pre and prep, but now it's a situation of, when I go into a pregame show, we map out what we're going to talk about, right? So here's the three things that we're going to talk about in segment one. Here's what we're going to talk about this. And then the rest of it is reacting, right? So during the first half, I'm making notes and keeping trends and things like that. And we discuss that at halftime, and then it's a recap. And that's where your analyst is huge. And then you go to the postgame show and you're recapping, you know, you're just reacting to what happened in the postgame show. This, you have to be ready for absolutely everything, right? You have to be ready for Nemias Keita to get in there, who's played 23 NBA games in his career. And what if he goes for 20 and 10? What if he gets a triple double? What if he, you know, and so that to me is where, in addition to knowing as much as you can about all 17 guys on the roster and all 14 that are going to be active, if they get in, if there's an injury, if there's free, so a lot of it you're never even going to use. Most of the prep that you put in, you can't even get in. And then, you know, if you have these numbers on a guy that, you know, if he's playing well, you want to work that in. And then if the guy ends up not playing well, you can't use that either. So it's a game. You're trying to be prepared for every possible situation. And that's why I marvel at David, because I not only does he call the game better than anybody, but he is prepared. I mean, there's nothing that can happen throughout the course of a game that he's not ready for. And it's amazing to me. So I try to mimic that certainly on the preparation side. What could happen? What are the things that could happen? And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be ready for it, you know? So I think that's, and you know what, you know, Stephen, we follow the game, we watch it, we're up on the NBA anyway. So very little is going to catch you off guard, and you pretty well know who everybody is on the roster. But now the rosters have gone to 17, and there's two-way guys that you don't know a whole lot about until you see that team that night, right? So that can sneak up on you. And so you just got to try to be prepared. And now when a play happens, or if whether it's good or bad, you know, I have time to process it all before I go to the postgame show. Now you're processing it on the fly. You know what I mean? So if there, so the excitement of a shot, and I think, if nothing else, hopefully fans can feel the excitement that I have getting to do that game, because I am over the top elated to have the opportunity, and I hope that comes across. And then it's, you know, and then if you're struggling, you got to make sure you're not too down. So I think it's reacting on the fly, and you know, being a professional and trying to get through it. There's a lot that happens, but anyway, you just try to navigate all those waters. It's uncharted territory for me, and I'm just having a blast with it.
I tell you what, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
There was one of the first times I heard it, I was like, is Dante a better play-by-play guy than he is on post, you know, on an analyst guy? And you're already great at analysts. So I'm just like, I don't know. It just felt very natural for me to hear you step into this voice. And, you know,
well, hopefully, Stephen, thank you. And that means, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. That means a lot. But hopefully if nothing else, it's a familiar voice, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully with my time here with Orlando, and my knowledge of the history of the organization, hopefully that helps in the transition, you know, for Magic fans listening to someone new. It's not someone coming from another market that doesn't understand the history of the team. Hopefully that helps a little too.
It's not a brand new voice, and I think that also helps a lot. It does. Now, Dante, you know, this weekend was pretty big for you, right? You know, there's no holding back. You are from like the Northeast New England area. You know, you grew up watching the Boston Celtics, New England Patriots. You had a post yesterday with you standing next to a man you mentioned earlier, Gorman.
Right.
And that it was like such a full circle moment for you right there. Let's talk a little bit about this weekend. You're in Boston. You're calling a game against, you know, a team you watched growing up. You know, obviously you're an Orlando Magic person through and through, but there's no lie, the Boston Celtics have a special place in your heart too.
Sure.
How did this weekend really feel for you? You know, just like leading up to it, in the moment, sitting in the garden doing it, and then, you know, a moment like that, meeting you know, someone you watched and, you know, and probably took notes of as you transitioned to where you're at now.
Yeah, well, it was, and I've known Mike for a little bit. I got to meet him several years ago, and I've told him, and he's always cool. So gracious, and he comes up and says hello, and we always have a conversation of some kind. But this was the first time I called a game like he does, right? So he's calling it for Boston, and then I'm in the building. I've been in the building and done broadcast before, but to call it was just a different. It was just a different. Yeah. It was just surreal, and you know, and my dad who passed in June. You know, I grew up with him taking me to games, you know, and we would go to games and sit behind poles, obstructed views just to be in the building. And those are the great Celtics teams of the 80s with Larry Bird and all them. And those are the games that, you know, that I first heard Mike Gorman call. And that was an absolute blast to get to do that. And so that was kind of surreal too, right? So knowing that he's kind of watching down, and I certainly know that he got a kick out of it. My wife and daughters were in the building. My best friend and some other friends that I grew up with in Boston were in the building. So it just kind of all came together. It was this full circle moment. And I'm calling the game. And it was a couple of times during the game, you know, a dead ball or whatever, I'm looking across and there he is. And it was just, everybody has their people that they look up to in whatever arena it is, right? Where you have your idols, you have your heroes, and you have your, and hopefully at some point, everybody gets to have a full circle moment like that. And I didn't know what to make of it. It just kind of hit me as I was leaving the game yesterday. And this is pretty cool to grow up here listening to this guy and then to get in this seat to call this game. Even if they say, hey, you know what, we don't want you doing play-by-play and you're never going to do it again. I got to do that, right? I got to have that moment. And these jobs, man, like these, there's 30 of them. There's 30 NBA play-by-play guys. These guys are like Supreme Court justices. They get these positions and they keep them forever, right? I mean, and that's the honor that they have by having won this, you know, this prestigious position, and then it's so much fun on top of it that they a lot of these guys tend to do it as long as they can. And I think, so I think that's cool. So anyway, it all kind of hit me that, man, this is kind of fun to have had this opportunity to do this in this building. So, and you know, no allegiance to Boston anymore. You know, I always have a special place in my heart. And,
sure.
But, you know, when you come down here and get to Orlando and now working with this organization, it's certainly all magic now. But those 80s teams in early 90s, mid-90s as well, to some extent, certainly are always going to have a big place in my heart. No question about it.
And I don't think anyone would blame you for having those thoughts and emotions either. You know, it's hard to I live in the Bay. I like the Warriors to an extent, but they're never going to replace the Orlando Magic, you know, but it's also going to be hard to ever take away the feelings I've had the last, you know, 9 years experience the run that the Warriors have had out here and living in the city out here. So
nothing wrong with that. But Steven, but I'll say this, like if the Celtics had signed Robert Parrish, Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, it would have been hard. That would have been very hard for me.
I imagine.
If those two guys came out there.
That right? seemed like a long shot. But
I think we're safe. That wouldn't happen. That's probably what it would take. But and even then, I think I would be fine cheering for the Magic instead. But that's what it would take, something like that.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Well, Dante, I've really enjoyed you know, this transition that you're in, and I can't wait to continue to hear you call games the rest of the season as your number gets called for that. You know, going to continue to cherish every moment with David Steele over, you know, this season and whatever his long term future looks like. But you know, it's cool that as fans, you know, it's the same core of this team. There's been some rotation here and there with some sideline help with, you know. You know, Kendra, who's new to the team, doing a great job, and some people in the past, but it's like, you know, you and David and Jeff, it's like, you know, I thought about asking a question about like, how did you and Jeff, like chemistry wise, like start, but I'm like, that I don't need to ask that question. You guys have been friends and colleagues and coworkers forever. And you know, the chemistry you probably didn't really have to have a conversation about it. You just stepped in and did the thing, and it probably happened more organically than I imagined.
Yes, and you know, and real quick, just to that point, we've done this together for years, and I've been traveling with the team probably since 2010, 11. In the last couple of years, I didn't because of COVID, but and it's you go to lunches together, you go to dinners together, you're telling stories on the plane, we're sitting on buses, we're waiting in hotel lobbies at 3 a.m. for our bags and elevators, and I mean, there are so much time together, and we genuinely enjoy each other. Like I have an absolute blast spending time with Jeff and David, and we talk about our families and, you know, life stories and things like that. We when we are not doing the game, we're very seldom talking about basketball. I mean, we do, but there's so much other stuff that's happening. So we do. We genuinely enjoy each other, and I, you know, there are other broadcasts that have that as well.
Sure.
But I don't know to this extent, really. You know, I think that's what makes it special. You know, all the time that we spend together and how much we truly enjoy each other.
I mean, you even add in the rest of the crew, you know, behind the scenes, you know, George and Joel.
I'm not a big fan of George. I draw the line at. That I'll draw the line.
Okay, we pause it there.
And our producer Ty Eastham, and totally. You know, and there's a lot. No, Kendra, you're right. Kendra's been a fantastic addition. I think she's doing a terrific job. I think Ryan's doing a great job in the studio.
Oh,
Ryan Bass, you know, and our analysts that come along, and we got so many. I mean, I enjoy the heck out of working with Quentin and Brian and Bo and Nick, and you know, and all those guys. That, you know, we're so blessed with the talent that's here. But yeah, you're right. There's such a Greg Hartung, our director, does a great job. Derek Fuchs, Nate Baker. I mean, there's so many. So many talented people that are a part of this thing that I'm telling you, it is, there's so much talent behind the scenes. You're exactly right. That's what makes it so much fun.
Totally. Now, question, and then we'll transition to the team. But one last thought, do you and like, but going into the season before you and Jeff called a game live together, did you like do a practice game together? Like, was there any prep, or was it just like, all right, let's go, Dante, you know, first game, let's just see what happens. Like, how was there any pre-prep before, or was it just
guns
loaded, let's go?
Yeah, we've worked together in the past. There was an instance, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years ago, where David had to miss a few games. So we did a few games there.
Sure.
And so that kind of helped, and we worked together. But I just think we have a natural chemistry. We've done a lot of radio shows together, and radio broadcasts and podcasts together. I mean, so I think that when the opportunity came, you know, before it was out of necessity, right? And then COVID happened, and David had to miss more games, and so I filled in then. So we've had some practice runs here along the way. So I think there was even though it was a tiny, tiny sample size, I think there was a little bit of a history and maybe a comfort level with some of those. But I think that was kind of just a kind of a handful of opportunities there before. And you know, we discussed that and said, well, maybe we'll get some practice. And we just, you know, because of the chemistry that we have, it just kind of worked out the way that it did.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Well, man, you keep going. We love it. We're here for it. You know, and we're going to continue to choose David every moment we can until that looks, whatever that looks like. But, just want to let you
fine.
Know.
David's doing great. He's enjoying it. You know, he's just enjoying it kind of this way, and it gives him an opportunity to kind of do other things throughout the course of the season, which is great. And he's certainly.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yeah. Well, now let's talk about some basketball stuff for a moment, all right? This team has been so fun this season. They are, you know, they're sitting 16-9 right now. Couple rough games, but 16-9, fourth seed in the East. What's been one of the bigger surprises for you for this team that you weren't expecting, right? Like, we kind of all knew that Paulo and Franz would take a step, right? As organic as development of players of their caliber do, but what has been something that you didn't expect that would happen so far? Good or not so fun?
Well, how about Anthony Black and Goga Bitadze, right? Yeah. I don't think we expected that. I think that was something that, you know, when two starters go down, you know, that's been that we were expecting, right? This team has been so injury riddled the last 3 years that you can almost bank on somebody getting hurt at some point.
Sure.
We started completely healthy at the beginning of the season, and then that lasted 5 games, right? And then two guys go down, and they've been out the last 16, 17 games here of the season. So, you know, you got a rookie and a third string center that were not going to be part of the rotation when the season started. And now they're thrust into starter minutes. And there was absolutely no way to foresee that you were going to rattle off a 9-game winning streak and have one of the best home records in the NBA. That to me was a huge surprise. And it's not like totally. Anthony Black was getting you 15 points a game and Goga Bitadze was 18 and 12. You know what I mean? They've had big games, but they've done their role. They've done their role perfectly, filling in and helping out around Paulo and Franz. And you're right. Paulo has had big games and he has had big moments where he said, this is my time to go get us a basket. This is my time to go win the game. That's been a great fun thing to see, to watch his evolution from last year to this year, finding out when to attack and when to control and dominate the game. And then he's got two game winners. And that's something that was, you know, that he's been able to add to his resume. I don't think, you know, until the last couple of games, we've kind of taken a little bit of a hit as teams prepare a little bit better for the Orlando Magic. But I don't think we thought we'd have the best bench in the NBA. We knew we were deep. We knew we were talented, but I don't think we thought we'd have the highest scoring bench in the NBA after 20 games of the season with two bench players being taken off and put in the starting lineup. And now you're going even deeper into your bench. So I think that was a huge revelation. The development of Jalen Suggs and what he means defensively and keeping him on the floor, that's been huge. And then Franz has had his moments where he's taken over one basketball games, three straight 30 games 30-point game performances for Franz. And then Cole Anthony, you know, one of the best players in the NBA off the bench. So I think you really, it's the whole package. There are multiple things that I think you thought, if this does happen, this would be great. But I don't think you expected all those to come together like they have. And Joe Ingles, you know, I don't think there's, you know, didn't have Joe Ingles in Boston, and you could tell what he means to that second unit. He just has a perfect way of setting everybody up. So there's been multiple things, Stephen, and I'm sorry if you said one or two, but
no, you're fine.
Those are all the things that kind of caught me off guard. I don't think we expected all those things to happen in the first 25 games of the season.
Yeah, we hit the perfect storm in all the right ways so far, right?
Yes,
you know,
yes,
outside
exactly.
of some injuries, you know, we obviously, you know, we can even talk about this for a second. We need Wendell Carter and Markel Fultz back. You know, they definitely are key contributors to this team. And I think watching a game like yesterday and Friday, it's pretty clear that as great as Anthony Black and Goga have been, that you need to get Wendell and Fultz back on the floor.
Yeah.
And they're close, but you're right. We really hit the perfect storm with the right players hitting the right steps, adding the right rotation players with, like, you know, Joe Ingles really balancing things out. Coach Mosley even taking a step in how he's coaching the team and growing as a young professional, because we often don't talk about coaches and their growth, you know, and he's someone who you've seen some growth happen over the last 3 years, which has been really cool. But let's pause for a second. Let's talk about this weekend. You know, I think more than ever, we saw this team play really good, particularly, you know, during like the first and third quarter of last night's game. But then we saw areas where it's like, man, they're just, how do you compete with this Boston lineup, right? You know, I'm no disrespect to our guys, but I'm watching a lineup last night of Derek White, Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kristaps Porzingis. And I'm like, wow, that's incredible. How do you even, like, who goes up against that? And then we mentioned we have Goga and Anthony Black, and no disrespect to them. They've done phenomenal. But when you look at a lineup like that, and then who's top of the East for a reason, and then you see, you know, a little bit of our depth issues with having two starters out, that's when it's like, man, you kind of need those guys coming back. And it seems like they're coming back soon. What do you think will be impact? How do you think, you know, we'll start with Wendell. How do you think he's immediately going to relieve this team a little bit when it comes to high pressure games like this weekend?
Well, I think, and honestly, in all respect to this Magic team, I don't know that anybody was going to beat Boston this weekend the way they played.
That's fair.
That's no knock on Orlando. I mean, they were focused. They have other aspirations. They want to win a championship yesterday, right? They are not messing around. They're designed to do that. They were fully healthy yesterday. They had everybody available. That building is insane. They haven't lost there since March of last year, right? So 21 straight
Crazy.
Wins. It doesn't matter if the 95 Bulls were pulling into that building. The way Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum started that fourth quarter, I don't think, I mean, and there were some terrific defensive sequences, and Brown couldn't miss. I mean, and listen, there were plenty of mistakes along the way. And Paolo said it after the game, we've got a lot of work to do. But I don't think anybody was going to beat Boston. Nobody has at home this year. So there's no shame in losing to the Celtics at home this year, because everybody has, right? So I think it's just unfortunate, the timing of it. But thankfully, you've built up enough of a cushion, right? With that, you, at the time, you're 9 games over 500. You're still 7 over 500. And that's why Wednesday is critical. That's why Saturday at Indiana is critical. You got to get back and build as big of a cushion as you can. So I think when you get Wendell back, I think what's going to help you is defensive rebounding. I think he's going to dig out big rebounds late in games, right? That's going to be huge. And Goga's done a phenomenal job of that. I mean, that entire first game in Boston, our only offense was throw it off the rim, miss, and let Goga go get it.
Exactly.
he's been phenomenal.
He's a great offensive rebounder.
Oh, he's a great offensive rebounder. But I think having Wendell back, he's a lob option. He sets great screens, right? Frees people up. He's always in the top 10 in screen assists every year. And he's a guy that can knock down a three. You know, we're not asking Goga to do that. Wendell can be a stretch five. He can go out and knock down a three in the corner. He's got a pull up game. He's got a mid range game, and he's one of if not our best defensive big. So I think that's what you get in Wendell, probably the most underrated big in the NBA. And then when you go to Markel, you know, we are asking an awful lot of of Wendell and Franz at times against these very good defensive teams to go create, and they're not letting us, right? So Markell's a guy that can get anywhere he wants. He can get into the paint, he can get to the rim, and he can facilitate for everybody else on the team. So I think when you get him back, that's a guy that, you know, opposing defenses can't keep out of the paint. And he's going to free, I think, everybody else up. And I think you're going to see him get back to kind of playing the way that they want to play. But, you know, the better defensive teams are not letting us get in the paint and get to the basket. So we got to find other ways to beat them. And that's the beauty of Coach Mosley. He will. He'll address that. And they'll work on it. They'll look completely different on Wednesday. And even that being said, as good as Boston look, you're down six with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Right in Boston, in that hostile environment, it just took an otherworldly performance from Jaylen Brown to put you away. Otherwise, that could have been a different outcome.
Yeah, I mean, the team definitely had some moments there where they could have gone on a little run, had a couple more stops, and these games would have been much closer, particularly, you know, last night's game. And you're right. This is a juggernaut of a team that the Magic went up. But there's definitely no shame. I think the only downside to losing these games is you got Eddie House in the mentions of Magic Twitter, so which is just entertaining to see, in my opinion. But no, definitely, like I was
now
talking.
Eddie House is, yeah, and I went on their pregame show in Boston, and I didn't think they were going to bring that up, but they don't seem to be able to let that go. So there it was. But listen, I don't know why it matters so much to him to stir this whole thing up. It shouldn't matter. I mean, he should be enjoying the team that he has with the best record in the NBA. Just cover that team. I mean, his comments, if it comes to comments from a Boston Celtic, I think all of us prefer the comments from Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, right? I think we'll take those comments. If we're going to, and if it doesn't come from those two guys, I don't think we need to listen to it. Quite honestly,
I tend to agree.
What Eddie's doing is not analysis. He's just taking cheap shots at an organization that he knows nothing about. And so you just move on from there.
It's funny. I don't want to really spend too much more time on him, but you know, he doesn't do anything on Twitter, except when you go back and look at his posts, it's all comments on Magic fans. And so it's just
Don't give the time of day. Like, we should not be Magic fans. I would ask to not take the bait. Like, just let it go. Let's take the high road, and let's hope we see him in the postseason. I think that'd be fun. And let's worry about what we do here. We're not wired that way. You know, if he wants to get into all that, that's fine. We'll let our play do the talking, and our good friend Ray for Alston.
Now, do you feel that, you know, like, Cole Anthony a while back on a podcast mentioned that you know, Eddie was part of their motivation. Do you think that's a little misguided, that he also and the players also should be like focusing on the team and not the players with their motivation of beating them? Or do you think really that's just like out of context and yeah, there's a little beef there, but it's you know, they're not really using that as motivation.
I think it was definitely a factor last year. I don't think it meant anything this year. I think throughout the course of an 82 game season, if you can find a little something to get some extra motivation, I think you'll take it. And that's what I told Eddie. I said, you know that if you can find a way to get a little extra motivation, you're going to do that. So I think that's what they did last year. It definitely meant something. They all tweeted the Ray for Alston slap after the game. So clearly it meant something to them, right? Last year, but I've heard zero talk of it this year. So that certainly was not a factor this year. If anything, you know, the Magic really badly wanted to go there and keep up this run. I mean, they've had a great run against Boston. And I think Boston had, you know, they had never had, it's been, I don't know how many years since they had a perfect homestand like they had this last four game homestand, and they wanted to keep that going. And they just meant business. They were tired of hearing about Orlando, and they put their foot down. I'm telling you, we just ran into a buzzsaw. Now we could have played better and affected the outcome, no question about it. But I think they were motivated. They were highly motivated to not let Orlando win one of those games. In addition to this great run they have here at home. So I don't think any of that other stuff mattered at all. If anything, I think they're going to be a little hungry and a little extra motivated going into this game on Wednesday.
No, that makes sense. That makes lots of sense. Now I want to transition to looking ahead, right? You know, we had our fun moment with Eddie House, but it's time to, like you said, stop letting him be in our headspace,
Stop taking the bait. Let's go.
And coming up, we have some heater of a schedule, you know, to kind of wrap up, you know, this month in December, and going into January is really tough. I got the schedule up right now. We have one, two, it looks like possibly like 5 to 6 game matchups to the end of January for teams that are under 500 right now. So it's a tough stretch. You know, we're playing teams like the Bucks, the 76ers, the Suns, the Kings, Nuggets, the Heat, the Thunder. It's a gauntlet. And then there's a couple of teams that are under 500, like the Hawks, and they're a frisky team. They got Trae Young, Deontay Murray, who are both excellent guards. You know, they're an up and down team, but they're a dangerous team. What do you think is going to be the key for this Magic team to show during this really important stretch, in my opinion, that could make or break this season for what we want to have them be as a playoff team, not a play-in team, but a playoff team? I think this stretch is what's going to really be important for them. What's a couple key things they have to do to be able to survive this stretch and be, you know, 500 or better through this run?
Well, I think this is their first real sign of adversity, right? Because there is a stretch of 12 games where only one team is under 500, and that one team is Golden State, and you're playing them in their building, and that never feels like an under. If you have Steph Curry, it never feels like an under 500 team. So, this is a true test if there ever was one, and if you can come through these, you know, call it 20 games, 500, you will be jumping for joy. I think that's what it would, you know, if you're able to do that, because it sets up nicely with an 8-game homestand in March, and
totally.
you're pretty home heavy that second half of the season. But it's very tricky, you know, that Miami OKC back to back is miserable. I mean, to go to those two teams back to back. So listen, you can't worry about the opponent. You can't worry about two, three games down the road. You got to worry about the team in front of you, and what's the plan to put that team away that night. And I think that it's not going to happen if you don't commit like you did defensively the first 20 games of the season. This team has to be a team that wins every night, stays in every game because of the way they defend. And that's what allowed them to get out to a 16-7 start. And you can't get away from that. And we saw it for a ton, you know, we saw it a lot in Boston over the weekend, but you've got to get back to that. That's your base. That's sustainable. The way they defend, they should be in every game, every night. And then, you know, some nights you're going to have nights where you're completely, where you make a ton of shots and you'll win those games that you have those nights. And some nights it'll be tougher and you'll have to get to the line. You'll have to score in the paint. So every night will be different. But if you defend, you can be in every game, every single night. Totally. I think that's going to be key. And they, once they own that and continue to play like a top three defensive team in the NBA, then they truly feel they can beat anybody any night. And that's what it takes. And, you know, some nights, you know, teams that we think are good now might have an injury or might rest a guy or, you know, might go through a little downturn of their own, and you might catch that team at the right time. So each game is different. And though it looks like a gauntlet now, and it is, you know, you might get some luck along the way and you're going to start getting healthy, but you have to take pride in your defense and do what you do. And I think if you do that, you can sustain that, and that's, you know, you can win any night.
Well, and a lot of this team's offense comes from good defense, right? You know, when we struggle offensively, it's also when the defense is not at its full strength and performing the way it should be. So, you know, you're absolutely right. In order for us to sustain some good wins throughout this stretch, you know, top three defense, because that's going to get the offense where it needs to be, scoring in transition, being aggressive, driving to the paint, you know, and you know, forcing turnovers and scoring points off turnovers. And so it's like we have to be that top three, like you were mentioning, and I fully believe that's possible. They can, as long as some health is on our side, and as long as we get some, you know, some injured players back, and hopefully the transition of them integrating back into the lineup doesn't, you know, shake the boat too much, you know? And so I'm looking forward to it. I think we have, like, this is a really good situation for the Magic, in my opinion. You know, like, this season, as much as we want to make the playoffs and make a good run, the most important thing about this season is learning how to win tough games, tough stretches. So as this team continues to develop throughout the next couple of years, they're in that. They know they don't have to go through it anymore. Like, they're here and they're ready for it. And I'm looking forward to it. We're going to learn a ton about this team over the next, you know, 15, 20 games and
yes,
how they go.
Yes, we will.
And it's going to be a blast. Well, Dante, we've been running for like almost 40 minutes now. I just want to say thank you for taking your time out of your day to you know, on an off day. I'm assuming it's an off day and you don't have too much work to do today, you know, to chat with me. And one last thing before we go. Amway is no more. We get a new arena name in the next few. You got any predictions on who it's going to be? What do we got here?
Zero chance. I'm going to, and they don't tell people like me. I'm the last one to find these kind of things out. So I'm going to sit there on Wednesday morning, like everybody else, and be excited to find out what our new home is going to be named. I'm pretty excited. And, you know, and let's go. Let's coming at a good time. Best home team in the NBA, one of them.
Yes, sir.
And I'll be curious to know, like everybody else here, come Wednesday.
Hey, I imagine the team's record and how they're playing at home has allowed them to have some good negotiations with whatever potential sponsors out there want to join us. So I'm psyched on that. So, all right, Dante. Well, I appreciate you joining the show. We'll catch you on air, and you know, hopefully we'll get you back on the show later this season. So
anytime. Thank you. Keep so up much. The good work. I always appreciate the support from you, Magic HQ, and everybody. So thank you, Steven, and keep up the great work, and we'll be in touch. Okay. And if I can do anything to help in the future, please let me know. But thank you for all the support along the way. Great Magic fans, great coverage, and we'll be in touch throughout the year. Let's have a great season.
Yes, sir. All right, Magic fans. Thanks for tuning in. Let's go Magic. Peace.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.